1, 1, 2, 3.
Yo.
1, 2, 3. 1, 1, 1.
Can you hear me?
1, 1, 2, 1.
If you get a little bit closer to you.
Is this close enough?
Yep, that's better.
Cool beans.
Okay, changing it. Shall I leave this for the time being, or?
Yeah, But just literally send me that link in it.
Hello from the edit, it's Future Alvin.
Yeah, so it's Cameron here.
Hi guys, Justin here.
Hey, it's your girl T here on After Sundown Podcast.
Are you locked into the After Sundown Podcast?
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Sit back and enjoy.
Enjoy.
It's about to be a mazzoline still.
Alright, cool. Okay. Welcome to the last episode of the year, even though... Actually, is it coming out?
It will come out in the new
year. Oh, yeah, okay. Happy New Year.
Last episode of the season, but Happy New Year to you guys.
Yeah, Happy New Year and that.
Hopefully we've all reached... Oh, this can sound so morbid, but hopefully we've all reached 2021.
Yeah, trust me. Trust
no, but it might... Oh, I know. So weird.
Hang on, let me...
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, please take us through.
Amen. Yeah.
We've already got like
is
a...
Is there a way that we could rephrase that?
Nah, I'm just...
I don't know, just keeping it real, if I'm honest.
Nah, we're just keeping it moving. We're just not like that. Alright, yeah, so we basically made it through the year, innit? And I just wanted to ask everyone what they're kind of grateful for this year. I know that's a hard thing to kind of probably do, but yeah. So I'll go first. So what I'm grateful for this year, I had a job this year. Through the whole COVID thing as well, I was all right. In terms of still kind of getting money and stuff. I mean, no one that I personally know, thank goodness, is actually, no one that that's my family has like died or anything like that in it. So like, I'm grateful for that. Yeah, I'm just grateful for good health. What else am I grateful? I got onto my master's as well this year, so I'm also grateful for that. And yeah, man, I'm just grateful. Just grateful for life. Strength and that. Yeah. How about everyone else?
I got the job that I wanted this year. Applied, got it, and I thank God for it. And still have it, praise God. So that was, of all years, for it to happen this year, it's quite interesting. Of course, this year has had its challenges, but gosh, they seem insignificant. Of course they're significant, but they seem, every now and then, they pale into absolute insignificance when you consider all things considered. I'm just thankful to be here, to be honest. I'm thankful to
100%.
Be
here. 100%. I think also, what else? I think, you know what, when I look at like summer in terms of like weather wise and it, I think that's probably one of the longest summers that man's had in a while. So yeah. I was 100% grateful for that. And especially like, I feel like it kind of came at like the right time as well, because if it was grey all the time and stuff like that, I would have been more sad. But the fact that I could like go outside and be in my back garden doing what I'm, you know what, I think the weather kind of made it bit more of a vibe. Yeah, and everyone was just still out.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think that's what made it a little bit better this year as well. What about you two?
Well, I have a lot to be thankful for.
Oh yeah, this was your year. This was
it kind of wasn't, in a sense. I'm grateful for friendships. I've gotten obviously close to you guys throughout the course of this podcast, and also closer to other people as well, because of the pandemic and things like that. I really got to reconnect with a couple of friendships that they've always been there, but yeah, it kind of like cemented some things. And for me, like the whole lockdown experience really showed me who like my true friends were and stuff like that. Just because, yeah, you see, you kind of work out who has time for you, who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then got engaged, so grateful to God for that and new beginnings. And also completing my master's as well.
Jeez.
So. Yeah, it had its ups and downs. And also, actually, getting closer to my family as well, like spending lockdown with like my mum and dad was really nice. And then my brother came nearer the end. And I just feel like, especially with the imminent change of, you know, getting married and things like that, you do feel a bit like, oh, it's going to be the last of a few things. Like, we had our like last Christmas as like technically a Jackson family. You know what I mean, just little things like that. So it was just, yeah, it's just, I'm just grateful for everything in life that God has essentially blessed me with. And that weather over summer, I have to just back comment on that one, because
that got
me through my dissertation,
mate. I can't even remember it, to be honest.
Nah, you know what, it was actually, it just allowed man to be like, in a time where we was locked in, it kind of just, I can't That's lie, man. I wasn't inside.
Really?
Like I just said, you know what, bonnet.
That's probably
and
why.
I'm just like.
I remember sometimes going for walks along the canal during that.
Yeah.
Now you kind of remember. You've reminded me now. But it didn't feel like a like, I don't know, maybe.
Sometimes I didn't feel like I was in the UK.
Bro, that's what I'm saying. Bro, I can't lie. It felt amazing.
It's
like
different.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I think there was one time I think I've still got the video in it of like when we all linked up
during lockdown. is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, calm. Okay.
Oh, wait, it was when we were allowed to.
Yeah.
And it was outdoors.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, outside at that park in.
Yeah.
Social distance.
Erdington. Yeah. Something.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I just yeah, it felt
it was
like
legal
a proper,
is all I'm saying. It was a legal link up.
Anyway, someone was lit anyway, despite the fact that we couldn't go anywhere like that. But yeah, let's get into the last chapter. So the last chapter is, what's the title again?
Rejoicing in the Lord.
Yeah, Rejoicing in the Lord. So again, I feel like I always start off with what the title means, and it. So obviously, the image immediately comes into my head: rejoicing in the Lord, dancing, moving, and shaking.
Oh, really?
But to me, that's like the basic and like the go-to definition, and it. So, what's the other kind of ways that you've rejoiced in the Lord, and it?
What came into my head, like, because the song, it goes, like, it's a song that goes in the round. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Hey.
Okay, say bro. Rejoice.
Bro, literally. So, okay, so music comes into your head. What other things kind of come into your head?
I think the Bible verse associated that with the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord.
Always in the Lord. I just want to say, it didn't immediately come into my mind, but as I was thinking about it a bit more, I guess it's the attitude that we should have even when we're going through trials.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, you know, you think of rejoicing in the Lord. I did think of times where I was really grateful to God because, you know, I got a result that I did want, that I had asked for. But then it's the attitude that we're meant to adopt when we're going through problems, that we should rejoice in the Lord always. It's not dependent on situations, it's meant to be at all times. And definitely something that I struggle with. 1,010%. Like, it's not even a question. Like, it is very, 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 very hard to do.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm trying to think about this whole year, and there have been obviously times where I thought, you know, I just don't want to be like, you know, you kind of get yourself kind of down in a sense because of what's happened obviously this year, not being able to see certain things, do stuff, whatever. You can become like very frustrated, isn't it? But I think God is a God. He obviously wants us to have peace, but he also wants us to have like joy and fun in a sense, isn't it? I think we'll see that through this chapter, innit?
So
what was you gonna say, Alf?
I was gonna say, like, I guess one of the questions that I was asking myself is like, what are we rejoicing in the Lord about or in?
About.
And, so, like, there are a few psalms that have like that rejoice of the Lord, like as they're in them. So, like Psalm 132. I'll start with Psalm 132. I'm sure there are others. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Is how that chapter ends. How it begins: blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That's how it begins. So like that's one of the things we can rejoice about, is that God has forgiven our transgression and has covered our sin. You know, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. And then another psalm would be like, rejoice in the Lord. It seems to be a similar theme. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise is a good thing to do. And then Psalm 35 verse 9, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, it shall rejoice in his salvation, rejoicing over his salvation, and so on and so forth. And it seems to be a theme of like righteousness, forgiveness, salvation, God saving us, rejoice in the Lord. A lot of those verses are very similar, based on salvation, forgiveness, righteousness, and God making us who he wants us to be.
Yeah, I think even here, because I'm literally, it says basically like many people like kind of walk this path of life, and like they go through like they make mistakes, failures, disappointments, obviously like grief, and it talks about this in terms of like God doesn't want us to be like that. He doesn't want us to continually be like that. And I think what you read there in terms of like, we should be happy that we know that there's a God that's out there, and we should rejoice that forgives us of the stupid mistakes that we do, the stupid things that we continually do. We should be like, I remember you said in like one of the previous episodes about that woman, and she was literally walking out I think she might have just got a job or something, and like she literally like was so gassed, like she danced in the middle of the road and it like, and then kind of like walked on. I don't know if you remember when you said that, but yeah, that kind of came into my mind of like, you know, we need to kind of celebrate the little things as well. Like, I know for a lot of people, they'll see stuff on like Insta or Twitter about people making like these big moves.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's their life, you know. And it can kind of make you down in a sense about, oh, I'm not at this level, or I'm not doing this. Like, they are, like a lot of people at my age, quite a few people now, kind of looking at the whole property thing, starting to like buy their first home and stuff. And if you don't concentrate on yourself, you'll be looking at them and you'll be feeling really sad, and you'll be feeling like you're supposed to have accomplished this by this thing or whatever. And I know stuff like that can make people down and even like depressed and stuff, that they're not the level that they thought they'd be at. But yeah, God doesn't want us to look at other people and be looking at their success in it, because you're running your own race, literally. So I know that can take away in terms of us rejoicing about the things that we do have.
On that, I wanted to read a little section. If I can't read it, I'll just say it, because I can't, if I can't find it. So basically, the writer of this book, Ellen White, here it is. So I'll just read the section. Satan tries to make the Christian life seem dark and unhappy. He wants it to appear hard and unpleasant, and some Christians may, by the way they act, make people think that serving God is hard. This makes it seem that they agree with Satan. I completely forgot about that line.
Yeah, I read that. I was like, this needs to be brought up for discussion.
All right, then. Read that sentence again. And
sorry, it caught me so off guard. Agree with Satan.
I was thinking, oh yeah, happy thoughts, you know, be yeah. And then I got wrong. That went left.
No, I think that's an important thing.
It is.
And
go on, read it.
So, Satan tries to make the Christian life seem dark and unhappy. He wants it to appear hard and unpleasant. And some Christians may, by the way they act, make people think that serving God is hard. This makes it seem that they agree with Satan. That wasn't even the point that I was going to, but it just caught me sideways. And if you want, we can spend some time.
What are we saying about that?
I mean, do you know, yesterday, I 100% agree with that statement, especially after yesterday. I remember at uni, like probably people would have gone on their nights out, and seeing people coming back people coming to the court hungover. I remember like there was a saying that we'd have that, like, I think it's probably university. Every university knows it. Like, where you'd see people doing in inverted commas the walk of shame.
The walk of shame.
So like you'd see that and you'd be like, snap, like, actually this isn't fun. Like, this is not fun. And then I'm like, because everyone is asking the question, because everyone is going, oh, that's no fun. My initial thing was to think, yeah, where is that? Yeah, that is not fun. That is, what am I doing for fun? But then when you actually examine it, if you don't take it at face value and examine it, you go, actually, no, it isn't fun. Like, there's no fun in that. The fun is in, well, there is no fun in that. And then when you see the damage that fun, that so-called fun has, you're like, oh, snap. And the interesting thing is, there are a lot more people now who seem to be moving to, in inverted commas, a Christian lifestyle without even realizing it. So many more people are starting to eat healthier, to exercise, live healthily, and without even realizing that this is a Christian, that this is a wholesome thing. And yet for so long, Satan has made things that are terrible appear good. Everything that is, every vice, even to this day, everything that is detrimental to health, to well-being, he still makes it look so good. And he makes living well appear boring and square. I don't know. And sometimes we do that. We make it appear so as well.
I think it's also because it's not what the majority does, rather than, let me put it this way. Sin is fun, let's not lie.
Come on now.
Sin is fun. So it's not that it's not fun.
It's not, yep, you're 100% right.
It is fun in the moment and for as long as you want it to be fun for, I guess. But the reality is the effects of it afterwards and stuff like that is what not makes it fun. And obviously the fact that you are now
Or would you say it's fun in the short term?
Yeah, making decisions that's going to affect your eternal salvation. That ain't fun. Hell ain't cute. Do you know what I mean?
So it's and affect like, you in 5 years?
But this is the thing. I mean, sometimes they don't. There's no effects in 5 years.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I've always said.
I'm like, there's some decisions that I've made in first year and second year. Very appropriate now. That some of the effects I've not seen in the past 5 years. I'm not gonna lie. Some of the effects that I decisions I made, I saw the next day. Do you know what I mean? So it's like you've got to, you know, every decision. It's not that it's luck of the bag because I don't necessarily agree with that, but the reality is, you know, you have the classic example: someone doesn't smoke gets lung cancer. Someone who smokes
for lives 20 life. Years.
You know what I mean? So it's just, it's just how life happens. Yeah, that's what I was going to say about that in terms of back to the original statement with the whole thing off, you know, we can make things, you know, look boring and hard and stuff. I think sometimes as well, as Christians, we are guilty of almost like taking too much spiritual responsibility, and we actually get, you know, worn out and tired and just fatigued just in life, just because you're meant to balance everything. But then some people think, oh, it's spiritual, so I must now take on more than I can handle, and then it does come across hard and stuff because you physically cannot manage because you are taking on too much.
Yeah.
But I think as Christians as well, we do need to have boundaries in our responsibilities that we have.
As in, like, responsibility. Just clarify what you mean.
Whether it's church responsibilities.
Yeah, I thought that's what you meant. I just want to hear.
Yeah, or even if you don't have like a church position or anything like that, even just your day to day life as being a Christian,
be balanced.
Yeah, you have to be balanced. If you know, for example, that you like to spend an hour doing your devotion, and you have to leave the house at 8 o'clock, and you're waking up at 6:30 and not enough time to shower, get dressed, eat. To someone who's when you're, I don't know, your house might ask you, oh, you know, why are you always late? Like, you're stressing yourself out. You're worried that you're, you know, getting to the place late, whatever. And it's like, oh, yes, because I'm doing my devotion. No, it's not because you're doing your devotion. It's because you don't wake up enough time to do your devotion and do the other things as well. So to the person who's looking at your life, they're thinking, oh, gosh, I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to be doing devotion. It's going to make me late for work, and I'm going to get a disciplinary action or whatever. Do you get what I mean? You have to balance everything that you do. And sometimes what we do is we use the excuse of, oh, I had to stay late for this at church. I had to do my devotion this morning. If you balance your time, the other things can work, and obviously prioritizing God, but don't use that as an excuse as to why certain things in your life are kind of falling apart because you're not balancing things properly as well. Do you get what I'm saying? Is there?
Yeah, no, I understand. Because in terms of...
I understand too, Kat.
Do you say something?
No, nothing, carry on. I was like, I understand too. Cameron made it sound like I don't understand. No, I'm joking, go on.
Oh, sorry.
I understand.
Alvin understands, yeah. Alvin understands everything. You understand the moon and the stars.
Come on now. I'm lying. I don't understand everything. What are you saying that for?
Yeah. So, all right. So, I'm trying to think in terms of other stuff to do with, like, okay.
I was going
to
say as well. Like,
okay, the question.
Go on.
All right. The question's come up before. Like, what does Christian enjoyment look like then?
Okay.
But can we kind of like go down that route just a little bit.
I was gonna say part of it is like there's nothing like a miserable Christian. I was gonna say real quick. So like I think that Christian enjoyment. Oh no. A Christian, there are times when we will be miserable. There's no denying that. There are times when things are absolutely miserable.
Yeah, that's life though.
Yeah. But, like, I don't think as Christians our disposition should be one of just misery. Like, otherwise... And for it to be so is to say that there isn't any hope in the God that we serve. There's no hope of anything. To have a miserable disposition and to be just dour all the time. So I'll start by saying that enjoyment.
Yeah.
Joy, like,
because obviously, like, you're saying that obviously, like, you didn't, well, obviously you went out, but you didn't probably go out as much as other people did, and you didn't drink and stuff like that. So obviously, people are looking at, and obviously the same things kind of happened to me as well. People being like, oh, are you actually enjoying yourself, or how do you have fun or whatever? And I just kind of ask, I kind of just say to people, like, this is my flex, innit? Like, I'm gonna do and be how I want to be. Like, I don't need, like, my response has literally been, I don't need to do that in order for that to be my enjoyment. And I was kind of thought from young, actually, like, I realized that everyone kind of has the same kind of, people only enjoy stuff because other people enjoy it as well. And you actually need to find out, what do you enjoy doing? What does Cameron enjoy doing with his time in it?
Go on.
And find people who enjoy it with you too.
Hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say as well, I think a large part of it is that people, I think a lot of times we can end up enjoying things and chasing things that feel good to do or pleasurable to do, like, or that lift our spirits, because of an intrinsic missing joy that comes from nowhere else. So, like, for example, I think that the thing that the people that I find so interesting and that I'm just like, I'm enamored with, are people who are happy, and it's not because they've done something. Like, that's sort of like, not even happy is the wrong word, but who are just at peace and content, and it's not because they've just been on a roller coaster, as in a literal roller coaster, or they've just come from watching a comedy show, or they've just seen a film and they're happy because they've just seen this film, or they've just gone on a night out and they're happy because they've just come from a night out, or they've whatever. They're not happy because of any of that, but they are just happy. And I think that's one of, like, when you start talking to people, you realize that that is one of the things that is the sad, like, that's where true sadness and lies is in not knowing, is in finding moments of happiness as opposed to finding purpose, finding moments of happiness as opposed to finding, knowing that God knows you personally and has a plan for you personally, kind of thing, has a purpose for you personally.
Mm-hmm.
He knows every hair that falls out of your head, and every follicle that just about makes it, you know. he knows all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I think that brings me the most, genuinely, the most happiness that I can think of. Only now, as I'm saying that, is it clicking in my head when it's talking about rejoicing in his salvation, rejoicing in his forgiveness, and things of that nature. It's like, whoa, God actually knows me and cares about actually me, of all people to care and know about. He cares about you. Like, and whether you're doing something or not doing something is independent. It becomes independent of your happiness, I think.
Mm-hmm. All right. I kind of want to kind of go to, like, what Christ's character was in it and who he was, because it talks about him being a man that wept, but it never mentions that Jesus ever, like, smiled, or it doesn't, like, mention stuff like that, innit? And the reason it kind of goes into is it talks about, like, in terms of kind of what you were saying, kind of his purpose here, and he kind of, I feel like Jesus, he deeps the overall plan of why he was here. 100% from a youth, he knew why he was here. And, like, it goes on to say, like, his heart was, like, open. And but although his heart was open, like his spirit never got crushed while he was here, and he always had like peace. But he was also quite, he was like, remember, like, okay, yeah, he was essentially God on earth, but he was very human at the same time. Like, I always tried, when people say like, oh, it was Jesus, like, absolutely God and absolutely man, like, he 100% was 100% of both of those things. Otherwise, him coming as God, being as God was, if that makes sense, coming here wouldn't make sense, like, if he didn't experience the totality of like human emotions in it. So even though it obviously doesn't mention in the Bible that he smiled, he might have, you know what I mean, we don't know because it's never written, but like, we know that he definitely had the overall thing of his whole being of coming here was love. And that's essentially why we rejoice in it. That's probably one of the main reasons why we rejoice in it, because he came here to die for man.
I mean, I think we can definitely know that God has and experiences joy, and so like, okay, let's say Matthew 25 verse 20 from 21 says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So enter into my joy. So we know that, and God is also the source of joy. The verse comes to my mind. Oh no, no, we've already sung the song. The joy of the Lord is my strength. But like, so we know that God, God is joyful.
So he has to be, because otherwise we can't ask for God's character and joy be one of those things if it doesn't originate from God.
Amen.
So it's like everything that we do, you know, I was trying to think, you know the story when when Elizabeth and Mary meet,
yeah,
and they're both pregnant,
yeah,
and someone's stomach like moves with joy, like the baby like moves. Was it Jesus that moves? Was it John the Baptist that moves?
Oh, good question.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I'm going to check. I'm going to check.
Jesus, but it might have been John in the presence of Jesus here today.
You know them ones.
I wonder who it
was.
But either way, though, it's part like...
It's still valid.
Huh?
It's still valid either way.
Yeah, no, it's valid either way, but like, even when we look at like the fruits of the spirit, and it like joy is like in there, like it's not like Jesus and this whole thing and God is not removed from joy. Like, we're made in the image of God, for goodness sake, you know what I mean? Like,
it was John who leaped. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit.
He was gassed.
As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy.
He was gassed.
That's incredible. Start kicking.
But that's what I'm saying, though. But Jesus was the type of man that was around children as well, innit? Like, so when you think of when you meet a child for the first time, what type of character you have to be like? You can't be all like stern and serious, otherwise children won't really gravitate towards you like that. Like, I'm trying to think about that. He had children on his lap, you know what I'm saying? He told the disciples, go away, you know what I'm saying? The kind of thing, like, man's chatting to the children. Like, he could have done like, Jesus is the type of preacher that would have done children's story and then gone up to preach, you know what I mean? Like, that's the guy, that's the type of man that Jesus was, you get me? And Jesus is...
I've got a quick section to read, which I found really interesting. I don't know.
Can you paraphrase stuff, please?
Okay, I'll paraphrase it. So, Ellen White talks about many people, basically sort of a long life's path, thinking and talking about their mistakes and focusing on those. This is so interesting. Like, they and talking about their failures and their and how their hearts are filled with sorrow. And it seems like never talking about God's impact on their mistakes or failures or anything like that. She then writes about this woman who wrote to her while she was in Europe and wrote
that's
about
the bit, that's
how,
the bit that I didn't read here.
You didn't read that bit. Oh, okay.
No.
So she wrote about this woman wrote a letter to Ellen while she was in Europe about how she was very unhappy and asked for some words of hope. So Ellen White goes to sleep and goes to bed, and she has a dream after having read the letter that she's walking in a garden, and the person who owns the garden is leading her along in the paths of the garden, right? So as she's walking through the garden, she's gathering flowers and smelling their scent and enjoying the experience of being led by the owner of the garden through this garden. Then the woman, this woman who wrote the letter, who had been walking beside by my side, caught, so the woman who'd been walking by her side called her to look at the ugly thorns that were on the in the way. There she was, sadly crying. She was not walking in the path following the guide, but she was walking among the thorns. Isn't that crazy? She cried, what a pity that the beautiful garden is spoiled with thorns. Then the guide said, let the thorns alone, leave the thorns alone, for they will only wound you. Gather the roses, the lilies, and pinks. What do you guys make of that?
Isn't that like, to me, isn't that like saying, you wouldn't pick a thorn, would you? You know what I'm saying? And I feel like maybe sometimes we can pick thorns, or we can like, I don't know, gravitate towards stuff that might harm us, and then it makes us sad later.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? So like, I remember Wesley said in another episode, he said sin is not sustainable.
Oh,
and then
yeah,
obviously people said that sin is great, innit? So obviously sin is great, yeah, but it's always, there's not a time that sin is it in some way going to harm you in it. So you might not die, you might not lose your head, but in some way it's going to impact you negatively, innit? And I feel like instead of coming into contact with sin so much, you need to go to God more, because the fruits of that is like there's loads of promises in it that we can call on, like asking it shall be given. You know, we're singing a song on it, like give and it will come back to you. Like, obviously sometimes it might be 100 grand, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it might be I don't know, not money, something else. You know what I mean? It depends what are you surrounding yourself with, what are you picking up.
And it also like, seems to
let me say one more thing. I think sometimes we invest ourselves too much in what like the world is doing on it. So like we'll learn how to okay, for example, us lot, like we've all gone through uni, whatever. And we'll learn all the tricks and trades of the world on it. But we won't learn all the tricks and trades of God. You get me? Not that God's a trickster, but you know, we won't learn everything about, so we won't get the positive stuff out of it. You get me? But we're looking to the world for all of our answers. It doesn't have any of them.
And also it seems as well largely to do with like outlook and focus. Like it always amazes me that like two people can look at the same thing and see two different things. And the difference is not in what their eyes have taken in, but on what their
t-shirt?
Mind has. Huh?
Do you remember that T-shirt?
Remember that dress?
Like, oh. Yeah, it's the
is
dress.
Is it black or
is
it white?
Not was it? Some
black
people
and,
saw gold.
Black and blue or gold and white.
Yeah.
So, but like, yeah. But also
you're
like,
you smoking something hard, bro.
It was definitely was. Black and blue.
Bro, it was black and blue, bro.
Oh, good. Okay.
You on about the dress thing?
Yeah.
I saw
both, not in life.
I only saw one. I've never seen Golden White ever.
You're smoking crack, bro. Yeah.
But like, it's like, what? It's like, what do you choose to see? What do you choose to focus on? Sorry, is the question. So, when you look at the world, when you look at a garden, what do you see? Do you see the flower? Do you see the petals of the flower? Do you see, when you look at a tree, do you see the fruit? What do you see? Or do you see thorns and thistles only? And is that what you choose to focus on? So much so that it says, she continues to write, we should think of the good times in our lives. Have we had any precious hours? Have we, like, time spent with God? Like, those are the things that we should think about, like, which is similar to the text. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Like, they're things which God would have us focus on. And then we should try not to remember. This is incredible. We should try not to remember the unpleasant things that have happened to us in the past. We mustn't try and keep them in our memory. You know, sometimes we, like, when something bad happens, we will mull over it and over it again. And even something that's minor, like someone does something silly on the road or whatever. Like, how could that person have done that? What were they thinking? Why are they going to cut me up? And then we'll go over it and see it at every single possible angle how that idiot drove. Or any other, it could be much bigger than that, but we will work over it and over it and over it again and again and again. And God says, try not to remember all the unpleasant things that have happened to us in the past. We should not talk of our sins and sorrow over them. That got me. I was like, from now on, it changes how I talk about, if I'm testifying, I must testify of God's goodness and his willingness to either bring me out of sin or how he has brought me out of sin. The main subject must not be the sin itself, and I must not to sorrow over it. I mustn't be down about it. I must have the hope that God can bring me out of whatever it is, whatever situation or sin. I must have that hope. And when I'm sharing about it, I must impart that hope that though I'm here, I won't be here much longer. We would soon be overcome and feel that we had no hope. A person without hope sees only darkness. He is shutting out the light of God from himself and throwing a shade across the path of others. That got me. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I think no, it's important in terms of, especially people that have gone through like mad bad situations. I know it's like it's hard to forget about those situations, but I think when you start to create, I think with stuff like that, obviously I haven't gone through something like mad deep in it, but I would say that for me, even in terms of like the stuff that I would consider bad, I would just say that I've built up memories and other stuff that's just more that I can just call and that I just better, you know what I mean? So obviously I always say to people, innit, like, okay, acknowledge the past, but you're not in it at the moment, innit? Just start living like in now and start making good memories, and that, because that's all you literally can control. We don't live in the future, we don't live in the past, we literally live here and now. So like, what can you, like for example, when it was sunny out or whatever, if man just said, oh okay, I'm gonna stay in my bed, I'm not gonna go nowhere, whatever, I wouldn't have all like the good memories that I do have and be able to like hold on to those, you get me? Because there's loads of good stuff that I can hold on to from this year, and it could be something like small or something big or whatever, or the things in between, but literally we need to start holding on to the good memories and the good things that happen, rather than the bad things that have happened to us.
Counting blessings.
Literally counting your blessings. I think even, okay, I'll give you an example, because like, okay, whenever I don't feel like, because there's been a few times, like especially maybe when I was applying for my masters and stuff, or maybe not even then, or just, you know, sometimes you don't feel like you're up to the job or you're up to scratch. And then I kind of just look over my result that I got for uni and it again, and I think back on when I was so anxious, and I think to myself now, you're moving stupid. You're so much further than you thought you'd be, and I kind of just hold on to that, and that kind of just motivates me. Now it's kind of harder, I can't lie, I'm struggling with motivation at the moment, but I hold on to stuff like that to kind of give me, because I believe God got me through that, and I hold on to that confidence that, you know, he'll do it again.
So with this chapter in mind, what, I don't know, either mentality or attitude are you guys looking to adopt in 2021?
Alvin, go first.
Good vibes. Positive vibes. Good vibes.
Good vibes.
That
good
overused vibes. Term. But it still holds
so much truth.
So, right. Yeah. Contentment. I think, you know, chasing happiness is a futile game. Happiness is so temporary. And it seems to me to be like a futile goal, because there will be things, because happiness is affected by things that happen, as opposed to and sometimes things that are, a lot of the times, things that are not in our control. But contentment instead is a choice and a mindset, and something that God can bless us with, where he can give us peace that passes understanding. And songs, man, they always have it right. So there's a simple little chorus, and it's always the songs that you sing when you're young that you forget when you get older, or you start singing when you get older, that have these messages that are like, whoa, that remind you exactly who God is. With Jesus in the vessel, you can smile at the storm. You know, how mad is that? Like, I don't know, have you guys, how, what's the roughest weather you've been in the sea at, in, on the sea in?
I remember, it wasn't even rough weather, I just remember the boat, bro. I think that was probably one of my first experiences being on a boat. I was going to, it begins with a G, one of the Caribbean islands, isn't it?
Oh, okay. And
it was this little boat, rocking.
And well, I just remember,
my belly was doing backflips. I almost literally threw up. Because the boat was doing a madness. Never been on. I don't ever wish anyone to go through that. What I went through, bro. that was a mad thing. But I just remember, literally, that was, and that and turbulence. I start playing gospel music, bro.
Well, you see, that is probably the against me shall prosper. That is probably the experience that people might actually be more familiar with nowadays than with the sea. And the fear that goes through people, the silence that comes, and then every now and then when it rocks and you see the wings warp.
And you know what? There's always one person that screams, you know?
Yep.
There's always one person that.
Yeah.
What are you screaming for? I'm shut up.
Now imagine that, but like, you know that without any you know that your doom is impending, like the boat is filling up with water. The equivalent is, what's even scarier, I've never experienced this, praise the Lord, is the masks dropping down, the oxygen masks dropping down. Just you're in trouble when the oxygen masks drop down and the plane has to do an emergency descent down to whatever, 10,000 feet or whatever, where the air is breathable. Now that's, you know that you're in it, but with Jesus in that vessel, you can smile at the storm. One of the most amazing stories is the night before Peter's execution. the night before he's going to be executed, he is asleep. He falls asleep. He's woken up by an angel who strikes. The angel strikes Peter to wake him up. And I'm thinking, if I was going to be executed tomorrow, if I was going to be executed in the morning, it's nighttime now, am I falling asleep? No. Today, I can honestly say, I don't think I'd fall asleep. But God says, I can get you to a point where if you're going to be executed tomorrow, trust me, even if you were executed tomorrow, you will have peace. Like, when you look at those guys like Zwingli and Jerome and Huss and Martin Luther, those guys who were fearless, sometimes, like, one of them had a moment of fear and then went back on himself and went, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, that is the sort of peace that God can bring.
The peace that surpasses.
Jeez.
Amen.
Got it.
Sing that a little louder too.
No, just in case it goes wrong.
But what's your mindset for next year?
I want this to be my motto, just being joyfully. You know what? I had it in my head now. I've lost it. All right, to have joy unprovoked. That's it.
I like that stuff.
Unprovoked joy. Because I can be very moody, so I need to fix up in it. But on a real, I just feel like, to have joy unprovoked and just try and adopt a positive mindset in everything, and not because of self, but because God is in control, and He has led me to this point, and He will continue to lead me. And I've got quite a few things in the new year coming up that, you know, can definitely cause me to doubt God, depending on what the outcome is. I'm just being very honest, like, especially knowing where I'm going to be placed for my junior doctor rotational placement in the whole of the UK, essentially. So it's one of those ones where, of course, I've got my preferences, but I know, depending on that result, it could potentially knock me 110%. And the fact that I already know that should mean that I should already be adopting a heart of praise and joy and thanks to God, because He's in control of everything. So no matter what the outcome is, he is there, kind of thing. So yeah, unprovoked joy. I want that to be me next year, and have that mentality moving forward in life, just in general.
I think for me, well, I'm going to still to leave as one, and I'm going to add my own to it. The last part of this, it says, he may be poor, he possesses in himself a wealth and dignity that the world could never bestow. So basically, bro, man's a student, innit? You know, I've gone back to that mode. And obviously, going from working to being a student again, it's a bit mad, innit? Because I'm not gonna sit here and pretend that I'm like flat broke, but like,
in comparison to
comparison to how it was before, innit? So like, but even in life though, I feel like I don't want to ever be that guy that gets too gassed or too I don't know, you know, them rich people that they're just I'd rather just have dignity, you know what I mean? Like, no matter what my pay is, or no matter what my position in life is, I'd like to have dignity and rejoice in the Lord, innit?
You know what the truth is, guys? Satan tries to make Satan wants us to doubt God, essentially. And like, on what to leave, I've been there, and it might, like, it could happen again. Hope by the grace of God it doesn't. But like, it's true. I don't want it to happen again. But yeah, he wants us to feel as though, like, a writer who's so on the money, like, she's written virtually exactly what you said, Talitha. But yeah, and the thing is, It's Satan's lie. It's Satan's lie to get us to try and to distrust God and to make us feel as though God doesn't care, or that he isn't, or that he will even lead us into harm. It's his very clever lie.
I think that's a nice ending to it, you know. I can't lie to you. You know what? 13 episodes done. Yeah. I mean, you know what? Justin wasn't here. It's okay. But, yeah, man. Everyone, stay blessed. We're gonna make it to 2021. If you're hearing this,
you made it.
You get me? So that's been the After Sun Now podcast. Alvin and Talifa and Justin as a ghost. Yeah. Safe.
Ghost. Bye-bye.
Stay blessed. Happy New Year.
Joy unprovoked.
Yep.
Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Anyway.